Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
For most of this hour, a special segment on one of the few really contested congressional seats in our area this year. It's the Central Brooklyn District that Congressman Major Owens has represented since 1983. He is retiring from Congress at the end of the year. Since the seat will almost certainly remain in Democratic Party hands, the September primary basically is the election. A dominant issue in this election campaign has been race. This is a mostly black district, configured as such to give black voters a majority voice under the Voting Rights Act, which was just renewed overwhelmingly by Congress and signed by President Bush for another 25 years. But four candidates are competing for this nomination, three black and one white. The white candidate, City Councilman David Yaski, could win by getting most of the white votes in the district, while the three black candidates split the black votes. Critics call that racial carpetbagging. The three black candidates are City Councilwoman Yvette Clark, State Senator Carl Andrews, and Congressman Owens' son, Chris Owens, an HMO administrator. We will now preview this contested primary in Brooklyn's 11th Congressional District. We'll do short live interviews with each of the candidates. But first, to help give us some more context about the history and politics of this district, is New York Times Metro correspondent Jonathan Hicks. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
When we say this is a voting rights district, what does that actually mean?
It means that it was a district that was set up back in the Great Society days when Lyndon Johnson was president to be apportioned in a way so that it would increase minority representation in the House.
What are the actual neighborhoods in this district, and what are the demographics of the population and the electorate?
Well, the demographics, it's about 60% black. It's about 20 or so percent white, and about 15 or so percent Latino, and I think about 8% Asian or so.
So does the act intend to ensure the election of a black person, or
well, to make it easier, it was set up. The first person actually to the district was a little bit different when it was first configured after the Voting Rights Act, but it was Shirley Chisholm who held that seat initially, and it was designed to
talk about
make
symbolism.
It easier. Pardon me.
Talk about symbolism.
Yes, and so that's why this thing has sparked so much controversy, because it is it's a very symbolic seat to many black Brooklynites.
But I guess one of the back and forths here is whether the districts are drawn to ensure the election of a black candidate or to give political power to the mostly black electorate to choose their own elected officials of any stripe.
I'm sorry?
Well, is one of the issues whether the district is drawn to elect a black candidate or just to empower the mostly black population to choose their own candidate?
That is that's one of the issues here, because people see it differently. But in the Voting Rights Act itself, what I think a lot of the people had suggested at the time was that it was to empower minority voters to have more of a say in who represented them, mm-hmm. whoever that might be.
Of the three black candidates, Carl Andrews seems to be getting most of the big endorsements, like from David Dinkins, Elliot Spitzer, and Controller Bill Thompson. Is the Democratic Party establishment mostly rallying around him?
To a large degree, that's true. The party itself, the party organization, to the extent that it's doing anything, is kind of staying out of the party organization is staying out of this in a formal way. But you are seeing a lot of support behind Carl Andrews from a lot of the Democratic establishment, yes. Although not, the party itself.
Is it fair to say that this race really pits two core values against each other? One, that anyone has the right to run for office regardless of race. But two, African Americans are underrepresented still, and voting rights districts like this were created for good reasons.
Exactly. And that's one of the arguments that you see, that's one of the clashes here with this, is because you have, and that's why some of the candidates themselves have sort of changed their rhetoric. In the beginning of this, you had people like Major Owens and others who were talking about the fact that they wanted to find a way to reduce the number of black candidates to make sure that a black candidate would win. And the focus was sort of on the race of it. And as time went on, you would hear them talk less derisively about Mr. Yasky, but saying instead that everybody has a right to run, and anyone who wants to should be able to have his or her name on the ballot. But this is such a highly charged race, in large measure because one of the problems that Mr. Yasky has was that he did not live in the district when he announced his candidacy.
Hmm. He didn't?
No.
He just moved in after that?
He just moved in after that.
You can
and,
do
and
that?
And that's what has given him, I think, a little bit of a problem in the race, because he was living in the congressional district that's represented by Nydia Velasquez.
Jonathan, just one thought before we move on to the candidates themselves. If the assumptions are correct about how people will vote, race matters a lot in people's voting decisions, consciously or subconsciously. The widespread assumption here is that David Yasky will get most of the white people's votes in the district, even though the other candidates are all well qualified by the usual standards, and Yasky is not expected to get many black votes. Does it tell us something about politics and human nature?
Well, you know, there are various schools of thought about that. I mean, that can be true. But it's not necessarily true. And in Brooklyn, it's a little bit more complicated and more nuanced than that. Cite, for example, the current borough president, Marty Markowitz, who during his years in the state Senate increasingly represented largely black districts.
Mm-hmm.
And he would win time after time over black candidates. There are others, Rhoda Jacobs in the Assembly, for a long time in the City Council, Susan Alter, who were white candidates, white officials who represented largely black Caribbean districts. And I think it has to do with who the voters are familiar with. There are a lot of black voters who are very comfortable with Marty Markowitz when he was representing them in the state Senate.
Right.
The other part of this, too, which I hasten to add, is that
15 seconds.
Yeah, is that these are all candidates who have had familiarity with the voters, and this is it takes this thing to it. It's more highly nuanced
mm-hmm.
than it may appear.
All right, Jonathan Hicks, Metro correspondent for the New York Times. Thank you very much for setting this up for us.
Thank you.
And now on to the candidates themselves. Up first, State Senator Carl Andrews. Senator, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
In your own humble opinion, why are you the best person for this job?
Well, I was born and raised in this district. I've served this district in several capacities in the public sector, also as a community activist for the last 25 years. I worked for Elliott Spitzer for 4 years. I got elected to the community school board when I was 21, served on the board for 8 years, went to college in this district. Shirley Chisholm was one of the motivational forces behind me getting involved in public service. She spoke to our student body and encouraged us to not only get a good education, but come back and help the community. And I dedicated myself to that for the last 25 years, working in the community.
What do you consider your biggest accomplishment in public life to date?
One, I was one of three plaintiffs in the landmark lawsuit of 1981, which stopped the election 2 days before it was supposed to happen and created the 51 council seats that you have today. Two, as a member of Elliott Spitzer's senior staff, I was instrumental in getting the Attorney General open up an office in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn State Office Building. Also, as a state senator, I was able to get the Department of Civil Service to open up an employment office in Brooklyn in my district, one of three in the whole state of New York. And more importantly, I think that the community sees me as a neighborhood boy that has stood around and been around to help the community and has been supportive of the community and supportive of me in my 25 years in public service.
What would be your number one issue priority if elected to Congress?
That's a difficult question. They all are 1As, 1A, 1B, 1C. I see affordable housing as an issue, education, health care, getting us out of this war in Iraq, where we're spending over $1 billion a week in a war that we have no reason to be involved in, and you know, was misled to, from the beginning, getting involved in it. So those are some of my, you know, basic issues. And immigration, it's an issue too, because we have a large immigrant population in this district.
What committee would you most want to sit on?
Realistically, I'll probably get a committee, about four or five committees, which I don't particularly want. But ideally, I would like to be on appropriations and education and human services. So,
on the issue of Mr. Yaski's candidacy, do you consider him a racial carpetbagger?
I've been quoted from the very beginning. I think I was the only candidate that's taken this position. Mr. Yaski has every right to run. If you look at the history of this district and the legacy left by Shirley Chisholm, she was a coalition builder. She, fought for women's rights, women to have the access to higher education, African Americans to have access to higher education. So Mr. Yaski has every right to run. I think that the issues...
He would probably say, and probably will say when he's on, that he supports all those values.
Well, that's fine, and there's no problem. I think that Mr. Yaski will have to defend his record. I'll have to defend my record, and people will have to judge who has the best record and has a history of not only working on that record as they, project it or sell it, but also show how it's connected to the community and the things that the community needs. And I think that's what separates myself from Mr. Yaski.
Reverend Al Sharpton has said, quote, "The issue is, why would you think there's not a black as qualified and who could do just as good a job in Washington? The inference is, when someone moves into our district, they're telling us, well, ain't nobody in the district who can do what I do," unquote. Do you see it that way?
Well, that's Reverend Sharpton's opinion. I think that Mr. Yaski, for whatever reason, feels that this was an opportunity for him to seek a higher office, and he's making that move. He has every right to do that.
You're not going to disagree or agree with the way Reverend Sharpton put that?
Reverend Sharpton's entitled to his opinion. I think that I can't get into his head or Mr. Yaski's head and whether he feels that we're all three candidates are not qualified or qualified.
Okay.
I know I'm qualified. The voters know I'm qualified. And on the September 12th, we will find out who was right and who was wrong.
Primary day. Do you support the Atlantic Yards Project?
Yes, I do.
How come?
I support it because I think that Brooklyn needs economic development. But more importantly, one of the strong components of this economic development is the housing component, which has a significant number of units set aside for senior citizens and people below market rate housing levels. One of the things that we are facing in Brooklyn is a shortage of affordable housing for working class people. When I say affordable housing, I'm use an example of a family of four with annual income of $40,000. These are the individuals, the working class individuals that, you know, work hard every day, don't have health care, don't have enough money to, say, buy a home, but still need access to decent housing.
And
these are the people that we need to make sure have housing.
And that's
there,
where we
have... For example, there are 15 public housing...
We have to leave it there. State Senator Carl Andrews, thank you very much. We'll talk to the other three candidates
okay. In
a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Governor John Corzine joins us live Thursday morning on the program. Tune in for that. But right now we're talking to the four candidates competing to succeed Congressman Major Owens of Brooklyn, who's retiring after 24 years from his central Brooklyn district. Next up, City Councilwoman Yvette Clark. Hi, Councilwoman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. And in your own humble opinion, why are you the best person for this job?
I am the best person to succeed Congressman Owens because I'm a lifelong resident of this district, a stakeholder who recognizes the needs of my neighbors and by extension the people of the 11th Congressional District. I'm attentive to their needs, having my council district in the heart of the congressional district. I'm strong and outspoken and a voice for all the people of this district, the privileged, the disenfranchised, the marginalized, and indeed a voice for women who rarely have their needs addressed. And when you address the needs of women, you, by extension, address the needs of children and families and communities in a very wholesome manner.
Do you imply with that answer that any of the other candidates would not represent everyone in the district?
Yeah, I do. I do. Certainly my track record demonstrates that I have been there for every single sector of this very diverse constituency. And on the ground, addressing their issues in the city council, passing legislation to address the inequities and the quality of life that impacts on the people of the 11th Congressional District. And none of my opponents have done this type of diligent work on behalf of this constituent.
What do you consider your biggest accomplishment in public life to date?
Well, I would say it's really multiple. One of the things that I think most proud of is the accomplishment in getting the city to recognize and address the disparity of its contracting practices. You know, there are firms throughout the city of New York that have the talent, expertise, and ability to provide service and goods to the people of the city of New York. City of New York spends $11.7 billion in contracts annually. And, you know, for so long, these companies have not had the ability or the outreach from our city's administration to make sure that they are a part of fulfilling the American dream. We had to pass legislation to address this inequity, Local Law 129. And as chair of the Contracts Committee, I have the honored distinction of making sure that the city of New York implements this policy in a fair and balanced way throughout the city of New York. And, and for that, I'm really proud. For women who own firms out there, they now have access that they never had before. For minority companies that have been out there trying to provide this service to the city, there are no more barriers to access to these contracting practices.
What would your number one issue priority be if elected to Congress?
I think one of the main issues that's on the table right now that really impacts on the 11th Congressional is the issue of immigration. Immigration reform has sort of been sidelined by a lot of the current events that we see going on today, but it's a real honest debate that we have to face, first of all, by looking in the mirror. And as a child of immigrants, I recognize just how important our immigrant population is to the growth and development of our economy and to our communities. And this debate has been sort of put on the back burner, but will be one of the first things I'll confront, I'm sure, as a member of Congress when I step through the doors in January.
What committee do you most want to sit on?
The Judiciary Committee.
How come?
The Judiciary Committee, because then we can continue to make sure that I am there to help shape what eventually will come out of the House with respect to a compromise with the Senate. You know, the House's bill right now is so anti-American, as I call it, that there has to be a voice, an authentic voice, who understands and has lived the experience of the immigrant that has been productive and that has been a part of building this nation. And that voice would be mine here on the Judiciary Committee.
On the issue of Mr. Yaski's candidacy, do you consider him a racial carpetbagger?
Yes, I do. There's no doubt that David Yaski made a racial calculation when he saw that there were so many candidates, black candidates in the race. He looked at the data with respect to the demographics. He then decided to uproot his family and move into the district to run. I mean, no doubt he has aspirations to serve in Congress. But why didn't he run in the district in which he resided? So it's very clear, you know, that this was a racial calculation on his part.
We have 30 seconds left. Why do you think Senator Andrews got the endorsements of David Dinkins and Elliot Spitzer and Controller Bill Thompson?
Well, if you take a look at it, it's pretty typical of the old boys club, and, you know, that's to be expected. You know, Carl Andrews has been a political operative within the Democratic Party for a significant part of his career, and a lot of those folks are indebted to him from that perspective.
Will you support whoever wins this primary?
We would have to. We would have to build this district in a way in which our people receive the service and the, you know, the representation that they deserve. I know that I'll be winning, so I hope that they will all consent to being of support to me.
City Councilwoman Yvette Clark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian, and have a very pleasant day.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking to the four candidates vying to succeed Congressman Major Owens, who's retiring after 24 years representing Central Brooklyn. Still to come, the congressman's son, Chris Owens, and City Councilman David Yaske. And Councilman Owens' son, forgive me, Chris Owens, is up next. Mr. Owens, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for joining us.
I'm very glad to be here, Brian. Thank you for having me back.
You're the only candidate without significant public sector experience. The others are two city council members and a state senator. You work for an HMO. So in your own humble opinion, why are you the best candidate for this job?
Well, first, let's correct the record. I do have actually 10 years of public sector experience. I was a member of Community School Board 13 for 6 years, elected twice, finished in first place twice. I was also the special assistant to City Council President Andrew Stein for nearly 4 years while Dinkins was mayor. So I've done a lot of work citywide and in the public sector. I also have private sector and nonprofit experience. So I actually come to the table with a broader base of different experiences than most of my opponents, in fact, than all of my opponents. As far as being the best candidate is concerned, the most important issue is that I have experience in Washington and Brooklyn getting things done, which is really the most important part. My father has been a successful member of Congress, in large part due to his brilliance, and in part because he's had help from many different people on his team, myself included. We were able to change the Title I formula that brought $30 to $35 million more per year for Brooklyn's public schools, particularly the poor ones. We were able to bring in millions of dollars for cultural institutions over the years. We were able to bring in nearly $4 billion since 1986 in money that went to historically black colleges and universities, which started for the first time because of Congressman Owens. We worked together on passing the American with Disabilities Act, which was the most significant piece of civil rights legislation that took place in the last 20 years. And I individually was the leader of the Weeksville Society's financial turnaround from 1998 to 2003, taking an organization that was about to fail and helping it become a solvent one and one that's about to build a new heritage center in Crown Heights. What? All of that is in addition to my private sector experience, in which I did a host of things in healthcare, including lead a member services department, which equips me to do all kinds of work as the as a leader of constituent services for my district.
What would your number one issue priority be if elected to Congress?
Well, education has to be number one, and I say that because my father is the only member of the Education and Workforce Committee from New York City at this time. And if he leaves, there'll be nobody. And I've made the firm commitment that I want to be on that committee, something none of my opponents have done, because I believe that 1.1 million school children in the city deserve representation. And I have two boys in public schools. I'm the only candidate with children in our public schools. And I feel it's important that I fight for them and all of our children.
How would you hope to influence national policy on education?
Well, I'm going to have a lot of big brothers and big sisters, as I like to call them, in Congress, because I've been endorsed by John Conyers and John Lewis, Maxine Waters, Dennis Kucinich, Stephanie Tubbs Jones, Joe Crowley, Maurice Hinchey. All of these people are there and many more ready to help me do the work I want to do on education. And since I'll be at the low end of the totem pole from a seniority perspective, I'll have relationships in place already from men and women in Congress ready to make sure that I'm the most effective, progressive member of Congress that we could have.
Those are interesting endorsements. Why do you think Senator Andrews got the endorsements of David Dinkins and Elliot Spitzer and Controller Bill Thompson?
I don't really know, and frankly, in all honesty, I don't really care. I've been endorsed by the Sierra Club. I've been endorsed by the Brooklyn Queens chapter of the National Organization for Women. I've just been endorsed, as of today, by Deborah Glick, a member of the New York State Assembly. I'm supported by the Lambda Independent Democrats, the Gay and Lesbian Club in Brooklyn. I'm the only candidate against the Atlantic Yards Project. I'm out there as a progressive fighting against the Iraq War and for national health insurance. Those are my issues, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Why are you against the Atlantic Yards Project?
I think that, bluntly put, there are a number of reasons that could take a long program, but in essence, it's a denial of community participation, it is an environmental disaster, and it represents some of the worst aspects of corporate greed that we have in this city. I'm not against development. I'm not against jobs. Everybody wants to see something built on that site, but it needs to be appropriate and sensible, not something that's going to be a disaster.
We have a minute left on the issue of Mr. Yaski's candidacy. Do you consider him a racial carpetbagger?
Mr. Yaski is a politician, and he's entitled to do what he wants to do. As I said earlier with regard to my other opponents, I don't really, you know, care about what he chooses to do, because as far as I'm concerned, the people who support me are looking for a progressive leader in the House of Representatives, and they're looking to me as being that alternative. They're white, they're black, they're Pakistani, they're Hispanic. These are the people, as well as the entire district. They're concerned about the district, and they're concerned about having a leader. That's me, not anybody else.
When Reverend Sharpton says, quote, "The inference is when someone moves into our district, they're telling us, well, ain't nobody in the district who can do what I do." Do you see it that way?
No, I see it as being the community saying, we have a choice, and that choice now includes some quality candidates, most of whom lived in the district, know the district, went to school in the district like I did. I've lived all over this district. And most of them are people who, you know, are family people and who are invested in good ideas. And that's what people are looking for. And believe me, that's what's out there in the community. And people are looking at Chris Owens to provide that answer.
Mr. Owens, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I look forward to coming back, and I hope everybody visits my website at www.voteowens.com.
We're talking to the four candidates vying to succeed Congressman Major Owens, who's retiring after 24 years representing Central Brooklyn. Finally now, City Councilman David Yaski. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
In your own humble opinion, why are you the best person for this job?
Because I've got the experience to do the job, and not just to take positions. All the candidates in this race will, I think, have mostly the same positions on issues, but I've got the experience to actually get results. I've done it. When I worked for Chuck Schumer, when I worked for the Congress, we helped pass the Brady Law, the Violence Against Women Act, the assault weapons ban, you know, got real results. In the city council since 2001, affordable housing. Everybody in this campaign will talk about affordable housing. I've done it. I forced developers on the waterfront to include affordable housing when the mayor had proposed an all-luxury plan. So I've got a record there on guns and gun control. I passed the law in the council to go after gun dealers in other states that flood us with illegal guns. On asthma and the environment, I passed the bill to get the taxis to be gas-electric hybrids. Cuts pollution by two-thirds. So, you know, what we need, we've got a lot of Democrats that go down there, they vote, and they come back here. We need Democrats that are going to get our issues, our ideas out there on the agenda, I've shown I can do that.
What would be your number one issue priority if elected to Congress?
You know, everything I mentioned, important, of course, affordable housing, guns, asthma, energy. But to me, jobs is number one. I mean, you know, every day I'm talking to people, their children, they themselves just can't get a decent job that's going to support their family. A woman the other day told me her son was just back from Iraq serving our country and can't find a job here. We and government can help there. When the Clinton administration was in power, we had a much stronger economy. We need a Washington and a Congress that cares about creating jobs here at home.
What committee do you most want to sit on?
Well, I certainly would want to sit on Judiciary Committee. When I worked for Chuck Schumer, I was the chief counsel there, and I would like to continue the work I did there on gun control, certainly. Also on education, the workforce, job training, very, very important to me. I chair the Small Business Committee here in the City Council and have done a lot of work on job training and helping bring people into the economy. And on the education part, you know, no child left behind, I think, has been bad, actually, for New York City, and we need somebody that's going to get there and redo that law.
Is it true, as one of the other candidates said, that you moved into the district only after you entered the race?
No. I moved three blocks. I represent a big part of this district right now, and I have for years. I worked on behalf of the district when I worked for Chuck Schumer
in the Congress. Did those three blocks put you from outside the district in Nydia Velasquez's district, as was said, into this district?
Correct. That was last year. And, you know, as I say, I represent a large part of the district. The work I've done the city council on affordable housing, on gun control, on asthma, I think has benefited this entire district. I know the district very, very well. I have support from throughout the district. I mean, from folks like the head of the Residents Association of the Van Dyke Houses in Brownsville to the head of the Residents Association of Wyckoff Gardens in Borum Hill, you know, all the whole other side of the district.
So when it's
neighborhood people who understand that what their neighbors need is someone who's going to be effective in changing Washington. And it's not enough to just go down there and give speeches. We need effectiveness.
On the racial carpetbagging question, you say it's not just enough to give speeches. We need effectiveness. I'll give you the same Al Sharpton quote I gave everyone else. He said, the inference is when someone moves into our district, they're telling us, well, ain't nobody in the district can do what I do. What's your response to Reverend Sharpton, given that it's a mostly black district?
Oh, I'm sure there are plenty of people in this district more qualified than me. The issue is, who are the, among the candidates, who is going to do the best job for the people in this district? And I think voters are smart. They'll make a wise choice about who will be most effective for them.
The critics say, mostly, that it's not that you shouldn't be allowed to run in a predominantly black district. It's more that it's in bad taste to take advantage of a crowded black field and try to win in Shirley Chisholm's and Major Owens' voting rights district by dividing black votes and getting most of the white votes and winning that way. Is that is your electoral strategy, isn't it?
No, of course not. And first of all, you know, the folks on do I have a right to run, I think that's the wrong question. The question is, what's best for the voters in this district? It's not about what's best for candidates and what's best for politicians. It's about what's best for the people who live in this district. And I think everyone agrees the voters in this district should be able to and will pick the person they think will do the best job for them. In terms of strategy, my strategy is to get support every single part of this district. That's why I'm out working every day, knocking on doors. I was last night knocking on doors in Flatbush, this morning in a subway stop in Kensington. Every day, knocking on doors, standing in front of those supermarkets, talking to voters, telling them why my record of experience makes me the person who will be the most effective in Congress. And all I can do is get out there and make my case to voters and work as hard as I can to make sure every voter knows about my record of effectiveness in the city council and working for Congress before.
City Councilman David Yaskey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And there you have all four candidates vying to succeed Congressman Major Owens, Carl Andrews, Yvette Clark, Chris Owens, and David Yaskey. We'll continue to cover this campaign between now and the September 12th primary.